to 12-0, Recreation and Community Facilities, on 12-1, Support for Community Gardening in RQM. I would ask our Recreation Coordinator Diana Johnson to come forward. And Councilor Frehley, would you like to take the lead on this?
Certainly. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality support the progress of community gardening in the municipality through a community development model by including the facilitation of community gardens efforts through the Municipal Physical Activity Coordinator, developing a handbook and policy to enable community groups access to municipal lands to develop community garden projects, and apply for project grants with community partners to progress demonstration projects.
Second. Deputy Mayor Plyle. Diana, would you like to give us a brief?
I will. The report was generated based on a presentation to council back in October by a community group called Plant to Plate. I wasn't present for it, so I think CAO is going to fill you in on some of that as well. The details I want to provide you with is how this can fall under our MPAL physical activity strategy and the benefits of it. Obviously, a community garden, gardening is identified as one of our important activities to provide opportunities for physical activity. Obviously, this hits both physical and mental health simply because of the activity itself, and also because of the mental benefits of being outdoors and being social with other community members. It targets two demographics, which we identified as target groups that were important, that is seniors and youth. I feel that it engages both seniors for gardening purposes and also for youth groups, schools, community groups, and any other individual that could benefit or enjoy that opportunity either through the school system program curriculum or just as a community group. You know, we can even think as big as maybe Hope Blooms, something like that, for small community groups that want to grow organic material and use it for a product that maybe they could sell down the road. Obviously, it also falls under our inclusive and adaption plan that we're working on. It has benefits for groups and individuals with special needs, so that would be beneficial to our region as well. So I'm going to throw it over to the CAO to see if he can add anything to that.
CAO?
Not much more other than, so there's basically three things here. Obviously, there's a good fit between the ask and what we're developing in our physical activity program. Diana will be the lead on this. One of the things that we can do fairly quickly is establish a policy and a guide for individuals or groups looking to use municipal lands to create plots. And as per the presentation from Grant Plants to Plates, there was a couple interesting project ideas that through Diana, we can look and see if there's some funding opportunities out there to make those real.
Questions? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I love the idea, and I really enjoyed the presentation made by Melanie and Mary. There's so many opportunities here. Well, the more you think about it, you have a community garden, and it can be beautiful because they usually have the buds and the flowering before they become an actual edible plant. And I'm thinking about having a tour. You know, we often had garden tours, that sort of thing. This could become part of our annual tour. And also, I know that Community Blooms is a flowering kind of national program, but I mean, we could even suggest through that organization that these community gardens are popping up all over the municipalities everywhere. It might be a suggestion, if they don't already have it, to kind of have a category for community gardens in the Community Blooms, which would really highlight community areas. Yeah,
and
a
municipality.
Councilor Kelly?
This ticks every single box that we could possibly have here at the Region of Queens, and so glad that this finally came to fruition. And it just goes to prove as well that if there's any community groups out in the Region of Queens that, you know, with ideas, to always bring them forth to council, because that's obviously opportunities come up and they see those connections and make those partnerships, and that's how this comes about. One thing I did wanna point out though, and make sure that it's included, is we know from the plant to plate presentation, the focus of the presentation was all about edible landscaping. And I was really hoping to see in this recommendation more reference to edible landscaping. I know community gardening sort of takes in a lot, but I do believe that edible landscaping takes in community gardening. So, and I'd love to see more focus on the fact that, you know, everything that we plant now in the region of Queens should be edible wherever possible, when every, you know, and within our community as well, we could become the focus. And this is all down to economic benefit as well to our community, that we have something like this going on in our community, and it empowers people to, you know, grow their own food, to feed themselves, to, you know, become sustainable in a sustainable community. And, you know, again, it beautifies our downtown area, so it has economic benefit as well to the downtown area with beautification projects as well through edible landscaping, and does put a lens on us for the outside world coming in. We have something of particular look for people to come and actually see what we do here.
I think as we dive deeper into this project, we'll, you know, maybe I'm speaking out of school, but it is something we can consider when the municipality might be looking at purchasing you know, trees or things for landscaping opportunities. Maybe we can discuss what kind of tree would be applicable under this program.
Right, that's great.
Any other councillors? Councillor Fancy?
I think the part of the problem's always been with the visibility too, because you know, it's stuck up in a corner. You know, nobody sees it if you don't go up there and take a look and see what's going on in the gardening. You just don't even know it's there. So it's a part of coming out into our community and putting out edible landscapes, and us as a region taking part of that and taking ownership of that, that we can be able to, it can be more visible, and working with, again, with the younger, with the kids and such as, who don't even know what vegetable is, a lot of it, or where it came from, or what it tastes like. So I thought it's just hats off to them for their work.
That's a great opportunity.
Councillor Johnson?
Just to expand on what Councillor Kelly said about the edible landscaping, I know from experience at the Medical Center in North Queens, we benefited from that, very much so in the planters. And it's a huge opportunity to be linked to this project and keep that on our radar going forward, because it doesn't just necessarily have to be lands of the region. It's anything that we do, and if we can showcase the region as being, you know, a sponsor of that, I think it's huge, and it's just in support of that part of this process.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, thank you. We will move on to 12.2, request from the Liverpool Curling Club. Councillor Kelly, would you like to lead on us?
Recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a tournament assistant grant of $500 to the Liverpool Curling Club for the Under 15 Nova Scotia Juvenile Curling Championship, February 10th to the 12th, 2017, to be funded from the Community Grants and Programs budget line of the Recreation and Community Facilities Department.
Seconder on that, Councillor Fancy. CAO, would you have any comments on this request?
We have a line item in the budget that's appropriate for tournament assistance, and this request would be in line with the policy for that, and we have funding available. I don't think there's any more to that.
Councillors have any questions on this issue, comments? Yes, Councillor Johnson.
I definitely don't want to say anything against it, because this is absolutely huge to be able to have that number of students, chaperones, parents coming to the area, and to breathe some life, you know, into the curling club and the activities there. I did, after I read through it, had a look at the budget piece, and I don't think it is a true reflection, but the ask appears to be more than the need from the financial side of it. And I think from our motion, we should look at making the motions that the ask is for $500, and I think we should be looking at the fact that up to a maximum of 500 based on some kind of an event, looking at the event in hindsight after it's over and doing an analysis on the event and understanding just exactly how much money is really required. And it uses a little bit of due diligence as how the money was spent based on what the ask was. And the third part of that is the learning going forward. If you're going to do similar events, what have you learned about the costing and things like that? So I'd just like to see a little bit more effort put into the financial proposal part of it. So,
CAO, would you have any comments on that?
So I'd say those are comments are taken in note. The current program is a fairly modest amount. We will be looking at policy, and so with the comments you've made, I would say are consistent with things that we've heard around measuring value towards grants that we give, whether they're large or small. So I would say that those are things that we have an opportunity to look at as we're reviewing our policy and programs.
Councilor Fairley?
This is great, and it's great to see community groups step up. When we say we're finished with this, I really don't think we should be finished with it. I think we should congratulate them and offer to help them market it and welcome the curlers to the town. So there's another phase that we can really, you know, offer to them as far as, you know, Facebook postings and whatever we can do to put on our website. So certainly a great, great effort on their part, but I'd like to see it kind of embrace it a little bit more.
Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I, on the same token as Councilor Frelick, however, I know in the past we have had tournaments in the winter time when we are subjected to bad weather conditions, and I just hope that we are able to keep, you know, the snow removal on a good timely basis and that sort of thing for the people that attend that facility, because that is a tricky area of town to park and to navigate through. So I'm hoping our works department can be a little bit considerate for that as well, if there is a bad storm, which I hope there isn't.
I'm certain they will, as usual.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. Any other comments, questions? Okay. Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Diane.
Okay.
I would ask Planner Mike McLeod to come forward. And under 13.1, streetlight request, Lake Point Road, I would ask Councilor Muse to take the lead.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the installation of a new streetlight on the White Point Road in Liverpool on pole across from Civic Number 26.
Seconder of that motion, Councilor Fairley. Mike, would you like to brief us?
Yeah, just a little bit of background. I guess the Planning Department has received a request to Mayor Dagley regarding potential installation of a new streetlight on White Point Road. I guess the pole in question does conform to policy. However, policy also sets out that there shall only be one new street light installed per district per fiscal year. So within this district, a light had been previously installed. Policy, however, also allows for council to consider a special request for street lighting under particular circumstances, and those being dangerous or dangerous conditions dictate at intersections or on municipal property. The property upon which the pole is located is on municipal land, so council does have the ability to consider lighting at this location. There's a number of people that pedestrians that do walk along the stretch of road and municipal sidewalks and at Millard Avenue and don't extend further beyond that on White Point Road. So this item is for council's consideration.
Any comments or questions of councilors? Councilor Muse?
The area in question is a lot of people coming from the call center at night. I find that they're walking home along the road there. Like I said, there's no sidewalks until Millard Avenue, so it's pretty bad. of a sudden you see them, don't seem like they're always dressed in appropriate clothing either. And the graves used to be there, and that helped a lot with light in the area, and now there's no lights at all around the mm-hmm. ranch.
Any other councilors? Councilor Fancy?
The one question I will have to ask is that, like I said, if we come April 1st, we could get a new one for, because it falls within the policy, right? So is it, I'm asking, is that something we need today? I just asked that question.
I would state that you have an option to go either way. It's a safety issue is flagged. It can come forward for council today, and it is before council today. Any other councilors? Ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor? It is unanimous, thank you. We have 13-2, street light request, Highway 8 Milton. Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead?
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the installation of a new street light on Highway 8 in Milton on pole north of intersection with Bridge Street.
We have a seconder, Councilor Frelich. Mike, Clerk Freeman.
This request came in by way of Councilor Raymond Fisk for a new light at the intersection of Bridge Street and Trunk 8 in Milton. With the new bridge that was installed and the realignment of poles, there's no current lighting directly at the intersection of the street, so. It's quite a dark area. A concern has been expressed to Councillor Fisk regarding the safety in this area, and that lighting on the pole closest to that intersection would help alleviate some of the dangerous circumstances that he feels are at that location. I guess just as a point of note, there is a fair change in elevation from the edge of the new Bridge Street. The corner property to the north, and I guess that increases the concern of Councillor Fisk regarding the dangerous circumstances at this location, so to be able to light his warning.
Any comments or questions of councillors? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, Councillor Fisk brought this forward, but we've known that all along what the issue is, and that's that they need to be first off, guardrails put out there. That's because it's when you cut in that side, we alleviated some of the problem. We put lights on the opposite sides on the east and west side, but it gave you lighting for the walkway. But when you're cutting in, it's just pitch dark on the other side. So you when you're coming in from town to the bridge, you can't even see on that side. And it also too gives you light down into the area where the old existing houses used to be, so it provides. It's a troubled area right now.
Any other councillors? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We will move on to 13.3 street light request, Trunk 3, Port Mattoon. Councillor Muse.
Move that the Council of the Region of the Queens Municipality approve the installation of a new street light on Trunk 3 in Port Mattoon on utility pole west of civic number 8669.
A seconder? Councillor Johnson? Mike? Do you like to update?
A little background. This request came in by way of Councillor Muse. With the realignment of the Highway 103 in the Port Mattoon area, what was formerly the 103 is now renamed to Trunk 3, and there's a dead end for the new section, or at the intersection of the new Highway 103. I guess there's no lighting at this dead end cul-de-sac, and Councilor Muse feels it's a potentially dangerous situation with the lack of lighting. I guess the minimal signage that is in the area regarding the road coming to an end at that location, so it feels that a light would greatly improve the or take away from the dangerous circumstances that are created by installation of the cul-de-sac. So we feel it's a lot of warrant.
Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Mews?
Like Mike said, the signage is terrible. It doesn't really say that there's the end of the road. They got a little couple little signs up that says it. The problem is that where the cul-de-sac is on a corner, because it was the main highway before. So where they have the checkered signs that says dead end, you don't see it till the last second. Hopefully the streetlight will shine on these and pick them up a little faster. The school buses are turning there in the morning, and this thing is a really dark area. There's only one street light on that road from the intersection to Southwest Portland Tomb down, and it's starting to be a little area for people to sit at nights, with a little bit of dumping starting. So hopefully the street light will stop.
Any other councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Is it okay to speak? It's not really relating to approving this, but it's just about streetlights in general and the fact that we're putting in these new streetlights and we pay a fee annually to the power company for them. Is that right? Whether they're on or not, whether they're working or blown out or what, Mike, we pay that, right?
That's correct.
So I'm just encouraging everybody, you know, to take streetlights as something that should be brought to mind, because there are a lot of streetlights that are out, but the general public do not know how to report them. That if they would report to their counselors and let us know, and then we would report to the staff person who then contacts the power company. Because if we're paying for something and we're not getting any service for, then you know that's a drain on some of our revenue. But I think that I encourage people to do that.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor McLeod. Any other counselors? Are you ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. We have nothing today under 14-0 Queens Place and Mirror Center. Under reports 15, we have 15-1, which is provided for information purposes. We have the RCMP monthly report. Any comments of councilors? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
Seems like I'm doing a lot of talking today, but anyway. I attended, I'm a member of the Senior Safety Association, and went to a meeting yesterday. And the report here really is, it's almost like a 2.5-page report. Kim Maslin was only supposed to be working a 2-day a week on that job. And I can be sure in saying she puts many, many more hours. And as you can see, her reporting isn't only on safety issues, it's everything that seniors need in all types of services, support, guidance, advice, whatever. And I know that this person under Kim Maslin, who does this job, is certainly well overworked and definitely underpaid. But I think, I know that we do support them, and I think we should take a really strong effort, maybe bring her in sometime and ask her to give a general report to our council about what she actually does, not necessarily asking for something from us, but just generally giving us a report on what she does, how it's expanded from a safety aspect to other issues and other help that our seniors need in our community. I think it would be very beneficial to councilors and to the general public for her to do that.
Certainly, she puts a good effort forward.
Absolutely.
And provides a good report.
Yeah.
Any other councilors? Councilor Frelick?
This is to follow up on what Councilor McLeod was saying. I think that she should come in and that she should put an ask in, because she is linked to so many of our strategic priorities that we have. And, you know, they've made asks in the past and they've never really received anything. But if we're serious about connecting all of this in our strategic plan, she's an important part of it. That position's an important part of it. So, yes, I do encourage her to come back and do an ask.
Well, they probably would have come.
Any other councilors? So we'll move on to 15-2, Bylaw Enforcement Officer's Monthly Report. Any councilors have any comments on this report? We'll move on to 15-3, Building Inspector's Monthly Report. Any councilors have comments on this report? four. Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center monthly report. Any comments on this report? Councilor Frehley?
And right now, we have the ArtReach exhibit there, which is, again, we're very fortunate to have it in Liverpool. There hasn't been much said about it or much marketing, so it would be in our best interest and for the press interest to really promote this. We're, again, very fortunate to have this traveling display come around and some great artists. So anybody that can do anything to encourage people into the building, it's well worth seeing.
Any other councilors? Okay, the next item we have is 16, under other, 16.1, 2018 International Reenactment Event, and I would ask King's Orange Rangers Owen Hamlin and Steve Burns to come forward to the presentation desk, if you would. Deputy Mayor McLeod, would you like to take the lead on this?
I certainly would. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality support the proposal from the King's Orange Rangers to develop an international reenactment event in Liverpool in 2018.
Seconder for that motion? Councilor Frehley? I was wondering if perhaps, Steve, you would give us an overview on this.
Just a quick overview. King's Orange Rangers, approximately 30 plus King's Orange Rangers here in the region of Queens, and Owen have undertaken a project to have an international reenactment in August of 2018. And this event is expected to attract 150 to 300 enactors from Nova Scotia and the Atlantic provinces and the United States. And the event will certainly help you bolster the brand of Port of Privateers. You know, tourism and economic development, certainly this will help in that aspect. My role would be as a support person to assist Owen as they become organized and create their committees and perhaps need some grants written, and I'd be there for support for the group.
It should be noted on this issue that in the original documentation, the dates have been changed to now become August 10th, 11th, and 12th as the tentative dates. And I wanted to clarify that in case there's anybody that may be confused. Mr. Hamlin, would you have any comments on this that you would like to bring forward?
Well, the dates were changed by the recommendation of the parent group in the U.S. because Labor Day there is a holiday for moving students and doing a lot of things at home. And so we picked that date because we thought it was an open date. It was, and it's been kept open on purpose. The last time an event like this was held in Canada was in 2008 in Shelburne, which I was privileged to be involved in and why I brought this forward for us. And the other thing is that we're looking as King's Orange Rangers, always recruiting the Army, is never satisfied with the amount of people that are involved and exposing ourselves even further from Privateer Days. And the idea was to keep it away from Privateer Days to make it an actual weekend of reenactment. Privateer Days, as you know, is very exciting and very busy, and we're away. This one takes us into the center of town. Many of the things that we're looking at doing, the gurus in the U.S. are all mostly museum people and academics, but we had the chance to bring two or three of them here
we're the only people in the field that do sewing and uniform construction, and also how the living was done and so on. And those people have already committed. I am the regional maritime coordinator, so it made it easy. I'd like to say it's not my swan song from this, but it will be. My first big event was Shelburne, and my last big event will be this, because the size of this can only be held once every 10 years or so. And we're very fortunate to get them to say yes. It's a long distance from New Jersey and Virginia and those places, and from the Midwest. But the numbers that Steve quoted, the high range is a very pie in the sky one. The low range is probably more in order. I'll give you an example. In Shelburne, when we held it, that was the dawn of what we have now, border patrols closing the border. And in one day, we lost 70 reenactors because they couldn't guarantee that they could bring their weapons and their clothing and come across the border and get back, because they were demanding, if you remember back then, the new way was you had to show two parcels of ID, and one of them was supposed to be for Americans, a passport. And so we hope that nothing like that will happen under Mr. Trump, but who knows? And they were a bit nervous about that when we had our meeting on the weekend. But we're fortunate. They gave us a date. It's now on the calendar. The only thing is we have to we'd start negotiating with them through Steve and I immediately after this meeting, because they have to know all the details within the calendar year before the event, so that they can inform all their members of what's taking place. And what we are offering is probably a no-turn-down offer. They very seldom get this good offer of gas. They very seldom get this offer of food. And they definitely don't get the offer of us supporting them in as many ways as we think we'll be able to, like percentage off of the ferry terminal, picking them up at Yarmouth or Digby to get them here so that they don't have to carry a wild amount of stuff. So we figure we can get a lot of just weekend vacationers. But the important part of it is our partnerships. We looked at the region as a boost to the tourism, but also for the museum, we plan to partner with them. And one of the things that's in the offing, as most of you know, we're just waiting on bated breath to hear the Perkins House is going to be restored. Well, the reason for the 2018 would be a nice partnership if that happens. If not, we're already talking with them about space for these courses that we'll put on, the history ones. The sewing can be somewhere else in town. And there'll be other things that take place, because authors are coming from that time period who have put out books. And of course, Todd Braystead never misses a chance to get to the South Shore of Nova Scotia, because his relatives came with as a New Jersey volunteer to Shelburne with the loyalists getting kicked out of New York. So for some of them at the top, it's very important. That's what we're trying to offer them, a no-miss chance to come. And then, of course, on the bottom end of it is the dollar. And it's not going to change under Mr. Trump. He does know the value of economics, and he's a businessman. So we'll know that 25-cent dollar plus is still going to be to their advantage. If there are any other questions,
Any councilor? Yes, Councilor Kelly?
What can we expect to see as the reenactments?
What you would see is the entire scope of what takes place. By doing these workshops would be the research part of it. The other things you'd see beyond privateer days are just people who are more expert at what they do, and by being there as a one-off and ourselves, it makes it more interesting. For instance, there will always be sections throughout the day of daily life for civilians, daily life for soldiers, but they will be doing it. And the drill aspect will be a higher component than privateer days, because in privateer days we're busy with the show. But with a regular reenactment, you're busy with the day-to-day life of what did take place at that time period. And for us in Liverpool and Queens in general, especially Queens in general, it was a very, very vibrant time. We were the largest community outside Halifax. We almost got to be the capital. And we need to, we're using this event as the King's Orange, that we can use that date and time frame from then on as the second encampment every year that we will do ourselves. It will never be as big again, of course, but it would continue to put the history in front of people, and hopefully we can get our partnerships going and our recruiting up.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Sounds exciting, Owen, and I know you always put your heart and soul in anything you do with our history and with the King's Orange Rangers. When you say it's going to be the reenactment will involve the daily lives of settlers or the whatever in those days, could you utilize the museum in Milton, the blacksmith shop? Because if they did forging and all that stuff, it might be a good location to utilize some of the other assets in our community that you could consider.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned foraging, because one of the things that's just happening as we speak in our reenactment community, 10 years ago we brought civilians in and females for the first time in the history of the organization since it got started in 1962. Now they're having tradesmen and mechanics section where all those trades from that time period mm-hmm. take place. There is a possibility of a larger partnership with them, because we will have at least two blacksmiths show up. But what they usually do is bring portable, like they did when they were mm-hmm. marching with the Army, that they brought a portable setup that they did as they were on the move. And it's the same thing as the settlers that'll be there. They'll be there to sell stuff. They'll be there to show you how they're making it as they're selling it. And they have a section in camp. The difference for us will be that we'll be down on the waterfront with that entire space for ourselves, so that the settler area is going to be separate but also a village of its own, plus the civilian side and the followers of the Army. In those days, it wasn't just the Army that marched, it was families and business people went along. They tried to keep out the gamblers and the beer peddlers, as we call them, but they didn't. So you'll see some of that. I've already approached Hal Bay. Obviously, when they're right across the street from where we're going to be in camp, they're going to want to be involved. And so they were the first ones I talked to. I've got to talk to the people that have the fixed roof accommodations, because, as you know, they're busy. They say they don't really need us, but in one way they do. And I hope to get partnerships with Lanes for food and lodging, but also with Best Western and the bed and breakfasts, because they're very important. A lot of us are like me, long in the tooth and don't lay down on the ground anymore. Although I still do, I lie a little. But it's getting to the point. And I think by doing this, it'll help us as King's Orange Rangers to be more involved with the region, the museum, and businesses like we were 10 years ago. We had an imprint on the community, which we've lost. And our members want to get that back. And I think this is one of the jumpstart ways to do it. It still depends on the contract. We have to, as I mentioned earlier, deal with the president of the BAR about the fee and about everything else that goes on, because they have the last say. I'm only purveyor of what they want to produce. But Henry Cook yelled in the background to me, "I want to see Gail again," so I figure that the guru is coming when he would say that out loud.
Councilor Mews?
You say it's 30-plus rangers? Is that just in Queens County?
No, there are 37, but there are five outside of that are from Lunenburg County and one from Colchester. Most reenactors come from all over, but they need a home. We're the most advantageous group in the whole organization. We're actually on the side of where we were. We reenact Captain Howard's company, and Captain Howard and his company were here for 5.5 years. And so the groups already know that, and they're kind of jealous of the fact that we don't really have to work as hard. And again, it's a two-edged sword. It hurts us to get people, because we're not out there actively selling anything, because we're in town, they'll come. And it doesn't work that way.
Councilor Frelick?
Paul, can you clarify, you're promoting this as a reenactment, and from our world over in Privateer Days, a reenactment is a skit that recreates something. We have an encampment, which happens all the time, but what you're proposing down on the waterfront is an encampment, and there will there be a reenactment as part of that?
In the planning, they all want to come, and we'll have to work out the details yet. But one of the things that's come up, of course, is what we do at Privateer Days, which is the colors, putting them away and putting them up. Well, it'll be much more formal because, of course, we're there by ourselves. It'll be totally military. There will be drills to show how they formed groups, how they fought, that sort of thing. Hopefully we'll have enough, you see. To form a square, you need at least 40 troops to show how they moved in a square formation. And that would be one of the new things. And the things that you'd see are just really an addition to what we do at Privateer Days. And like I said, at Privateer Days, we're limited because most reenactors don't do parades, generally. We do them here because it's in Perkins' diary. They marched around, so that's how we sell it to the other reenactors. But most of what we do will be contained within that site. And yes, there would be some kind of a show of how battles were fought. If we have enough to have line companies, that would be wonderful, and we'll do it. Whether we do something else in town is another question. It'll depend on our negotiations with the bar, what they would allow.
I would just caution you, because most people that have been around many years with Privateer Days think reenactment is a reenactment. So when you're promoting this, it would be good to clarify that it's an encampment with partial reenactment, just as yes, a note.
Well,
judging from the emails and questions that I get all the time about the reenactment, looking for the actual event itself. So, another question, and tell me again how you decided on the date, because you know we're part of what we do is we try to get events in the shoulder seasons. How did the August date come up?
Because it was open. It was the only one in the next 5 years.
Oh, okay.
That was open for this event. Now, if we want to adjust it when we do our own,
right,
later on, I always prefer around Labor Day or the weekend after.
Yeah.
Probably the weekend after. Mm-hmm. Because 2 weeks after or three, we're at the Citadel. Most reenactors end the season at the Citadel, which, as you know, is quite a historic.
And when
spot
is the end of the reenactment season?
Our ending officially is the middle weekend in September.
Okay.
In the Citadel.
Deputy Mayor McLeod.
Something that you just said, Owen, just brings this question to mind. You said that when we organize our own event, this event, is this being organized by you, or is this a specific event from your other groups along the Eastern Seaboard?
Well, we all will be working on this together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do as coordinator is, as soon as I come out of here, if it's a positive answer, I contact them all, and they put that date aside. And so it becomes that bar event for the Maritimes, well, actually for Canada, for 2018. Right now, it's on the bar books, but they have to hear from me to start negotiations on what's going to be involved, what we'll be allowed to do, what they think we're capable of. Because the first question to me at the meeting 2 weeks ago Sunday on the conference call was, well, what happens if we bring more than you have? Won't you feel a little upset? And I said, no. Can you bring 100 and we'll bring 20? We'd be just as happy. Because what it does is advertise that, yes, this is a viable part-time hobby for people. And it is.
But this is an international, as we indicated in the motion.
Yes, and when I contact them, because it's an international event, they will contact the other two main groups that have nothing to do with the bar. The Continental Line, which is totally a patriot troops from America, and the BBR, which is a less stringent organization than ours when it comes to costuming, tentage, and behavior, and so on. Their members don't kowtow quite as strictly to the rules. And they're more fun, if you ask me. But anyway, I don't say that out loud at bar meetings. They know that clearly.
Yes. Councilor Johnson?
I guess the question has to be asked, and it could be asked of the CAO. The support, and according to this document, it looks like it's in the range of $9,400. Is that, that's a new ask altogether. It's not offset by something that the society has already, or on an annual basis, gets a request. And my other part of that question is, for, I've heard Mr. Hamlin here speak to the fact that, you know, we're gonna have 300 enactors. What else do we get for our rate of investment, a rate of return here for that $9,400? It brings back, you know, the identity of the Port of Privateers, as was stated. But is there other benefits there to offset that $9,400 investment? Is it possible that the $9,400 go to $10,000, $11,000? Or if you're successful in the organization in acquiring more grants, does that money come down? So I guess it's kind of like a threefold question, but I think
CAO, would you like to respond?
Yep. So through the mayor to council, firstly, that's a preliminary budget, and you know, the direction is to move forward to support the development of the event, or the proposed motion is to support that. One of the key things is we'll have to do some more due diligence in developing the budget. It is not a 2017-18 budget expense, it would be the following year. So it does need work to verify, and certainly, as you said, the opportunity needs more work around how we could leverage this for, as you mentioned, the Port of Privateers, for tourism, for other things. So there's much work to be done by staff around that, and you know, that will come back to council as we continue our work.
I think it's a huge piece with the international piece. If we could leverage like the History Channel or the National Geographic, you're not going to get any advertising bang for buck any better than that and be able to support it. But I'm just looking at understanding how that the budget impact and our rate of investment works here. Because I, you know, I have to understand the numbers are low based on that figure, based on some of the other things that we support on an annual basis that bring a whole lot of people to our communities.
Yes, sir.
One of the things is the offshoot of people coming to see it, mm-hmm. and we're in an hour and a half from everybody, so they can come for this day, and if they enjoy it, you'll get them back. If they did enjoy it and can't come back, then Privateer Days will benefit, and many of our other history events. It's what you generate outside in the economy that's important. Us on ourselves, most reenactors would prefer to go out in the woods, in a clearing, in a field, and do what they do. But they know they can't survive without doing it in front of people, because people want to see it, not just yourself. It's unlike the Boy Scout movement. Tend to show people your skills outside. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing would be is the effect on our tourism. Hopefully. Is there anything else I can answer for?
No, I just, that answers my question, I think.
Okay. Councilor Fancy?
Owen, I think it's a great presentation you're putting forward here. I will probably bring forward somewhat of a negative spin to this, just because I'm a counselor and I have to look at the whole, right? And that's, and I may be in probably on the opposite side of the fence saying that it is going to cost us $9,400, right? I mean, the price tag is there. I mean, we just say, well, what do we think it's going to be? We have some other groups that are, we struggle and we go to grants to organizations to try to get the monies for the different things. So everything we do is a real challenge, especially with we see it looks like Statistics Canada is going to take us down below 11,000 people in our region. So I think it's a great idea. I just don't know if it's a for the time right now. I think like we have like the farmers markets going to be looking for some monies. We're going to be looking at there's going to be a running track that's looking for some monies, and there's only so much to give out, and I just don't know if that's, you know, I'm nothing against what you're doing. I just don't know if it's going to be, I just don't know if I could support it at this time. You know, I'll support it if we go forward with it. I just can't see it at this time.
Councilor Fraley, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, I was just wondering about your committee, Owen, with the Kings Orange Rangers. How many people are on it currently?
We haven't, just like the main committee, we haven't really formed, but when I came with the proposal and we sat down, the region's going to have an oversee. They'll be the main committee. And then the subcommittee, and Stephen will be, as they mentioned, appointment. So when we bring stuff in, as the Kings Orange Rangers, we're going to have a small three or four man committee only, other than the working. But there might be others. I don't know, but to answer your question on the budget, this preliminary, this is an ask to, yes, you're in favor of it. Now we have to make sure when we come back, you'll buy, we put the budget in, did we not, CAO, to make sure that there was some idea of what it would cost.
Right.
And Brian knows from doing events that you can't put a permanent in until
that's
you
right.
put the events in. And then you match them up at the cost and where you can. For example, I mentioned earlier about Hell's Bay. Well, we don't know what he might be interested in doing. He's a provincial company. He might put a beer out that goes all over Nova Scotia because he's in those liquor stores now, and he already said that when I was in there. You know, what a chance to get a special brew for the region of Queen. And, you know, prizes and stuff. And then he has his patio, and he wants that to grow. So we go over there dressed in the evening and have a beer after working all day, hopefully in the hot sun, because we don't want to be too cold.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those kind of partnerships will be developed.
Sure.
I guess my question was, maybe I asked it wrong. You're going to build a committee, so the Kings Orange Rangers are going to lead that along with the Region of Queens. So the Kings Orange Rangers will be the ones looking for grants, looking for funding, looking for sponsors.
We would be the nonprofit, because as we know, you can't,
yes.
as a government, access certain things that we could. But we're also looking, we have to have that guaranteed money for the fee to bring the bar organization, because that's what makes them operate year round. The five events that they do. There will be, and hopefully with all the partnerships we can develop, and we are working with the museum and the Historic Society, because they, as you know, your partnership with them last year, they were pleased as punch at how it went, and they're looking forward to more of those kind of things, because they do work. Us by ourselves, no, it's not going to be as similar.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, we've always wanted that second encampment later in the summer. And after this event, we could move that date wherever we feel as a group, how did it work, and will it work at a different later time? I mean, you run into things like the equipment there if you go too far. And we've got to watch all those things. Does that answer basically?
Yes, thank you.
Councilor Kelly, you have a question?
I think it's a wonderful idea. It ticks our box for our strategic priorities with economic development. And I believe the Kings Orange Rangers are definitely an asset to our community. And I know that your numbers have been shrinking and you're not getting any younger, any of you. But that's why you love to do what you do, because you love the history. And I'd love to see a succession plan that this is worked on. If this event takes off and comes here, that there's a succession plan, like you say, you want to get new members and all of that, and you need to bring more people in, and that there's a definite plan, priority plan, to actually make that happen while this event is going on, and that you have people to bring on. You say you know, you've done these events down in Shelburne, and I guess these people that you're partnering with now, coming from the United States, they've done this type of partnering before and done this type of event before. Is there any kind of economic impact studies or economic information that we know that we could base decisions on the fact that this is a good investment, bringing lots of people to our community? That's the first part. And then just want to know what your marketing plan is to make that happen.
Well, we do know, if you remember the mess with Quebec City, that's a big one. The Plains of Abraham, I was up there twice, and then the third time we were to have the every 5-year anniversary, three students from one of the CJEBs ran down the concourse bearing no to English in their bare chest, and the Americans withdrew and didn't go. And that one drew 3,000 people, reenactors. It drew 30,000 people to watch it. And it evolved from the first time we did it, there were 30,000 people there in the paper. The next day, they booed us. The French people didn't know who they were supposed to support. Nobody told them. It was well advertised, but nobody told them. So the paper chastised them that they weren't supporting the people that saved Quebec. So the next day we went out, of course, to get a standing ovation. And the next time we did it, 5 years later, same amount of people. And their impacts then was 7.5 million. So when you start reducing down, that's what you have to do. There is, that, as anybody who's been involved in this, there is that ancillary and ancillary money out around it, because people have to travel to you, buy gas, buy, even if they don't stay. And to go to your second part of your question, this is exactly why it came up. We're looking to try to revitalize. One thing we haven't done a good job at is having our retreat. All groups that have these are supposed to have a recruiting tent set up and way to join and somebody to tell people, and we haven't been doing that, and that's part of our bad. And the other part is that we haven't been active enough. And the third thing that hurts us the most, they don't teach history anymore in school. And we haven't been able to get back in to do our teaching that we used to do. And we got a lot of members that way when we used to go into the schools, the elementary and middle schools and the high school, social studies, and put on a history lesson. So maybe we do that. And the third part, when you said, oh, we're going to promote it, I mentioned this at our original ask meeting when the mayor and CEO want to know what we were really up to. We need really fancy poster style. We're going to make a bigger one to give to the TV stations and the radio stations to put on their wall, so for a year they'll never forget. They turn around, there's that colorful picture, and hopefully one of our local people, we have two or three good advertising people in town, will design us one that will blow up. As you know, some of them don't go bigger very well. But anyway, posters at all the BICs and any place where I remember from my days in privateer days when I was in charge of that, I just get in my van and drove right around the province, dropping them off. Go into town, you ask the guy on the street, where do you go to see your posters? And they tell you the best place to put a poster. And that's what you do. And that's how you get people. Plus, we hope to get some kind of an arrangement if we can. You notice there was very little there in advertising, but that depends on what we can raise, how much you promote. But Cyril, and he's been here before, and we can get him again. He loves to get dressed up in my wife's clothing and get out into the Fort Point and have a good time. So that's one avenue I would hope was to go down, because I know them. And I still have a few connections with the tourism industry. And so we might get a wine done. We might get a beer done. And all those things promote.
Yeah, and also the fact that you will be engaging with the people that are actually coming here to be promoting in their networks and circles. I'm sure we'll get lots of visitors from the United States coming with them.
Yep, and a lot of times you don't even realize how many hits you make. For instance, I'll just give you one sample from being on the museum grounds last year. A guy and his wife came up to me and grabbed my hand and shook it. He said, I'm from Newfoundland. I said, oh, that's nice. How long are you here for? Well, he said, we were coming for 2 days, but he said, I'm staying now until Tuesday. so much to see and do. And I said, well, how did you get here? He said, well, I was watching TV once, 15 years ago. My son was sitting there with me and my wife, and he put it on his bucket list. So that tells you how long some people will keep something up here. And that's only one story from last year. Last year was one of those fabulous times that we met so many people from around the world. I couldn't believe it. We never did that in Privateer Days before. But down there, for some reason, they came in and they stayed and they wanted to know what was going on. They're from Germany, France, England. Anyway, the Newfoundland story was a good one. 15 years on your bucket list.
I'm going to move to Councillor Johnson.
Okay, I just want to, before we get to the vote, just clarity here that a negative vote today squashes this whole initiative for the fact that the timing is not there to go forward with the folks from the U.S.
If we get a negative motion, they're waiting for my call, yes or no, either way. And what they would do is just open that date. That's all. It hasn't been formally done except by their executive. Until it goes into our publication, which would be following my call, the next 2 months down the road in our publication will be that this event's taking place and here are some of the wonderful things that we're getting done for us. Because they think it's awesome what we offered them. They don't get that offer very much.
And the positive side of that, I think this goes back to our CAO, 18-19 budget year, we have an opportunity to shuffle money's looking at our strategic plan is to keep tax base zero. So maybe we take some advertising money and put it into grants to organizations. We had that opportunity, correct? Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions of councillors? I have one item that I don't think you raised. I was wondering if you could inform us what one as a visitor would see as far as uniforms or outfits of the participants. I know King's Orange Rangers have the red one. What would we see?
You'll see in history, those of you that aren't familiar with that time period, the most uniforms ever seen on the battlefields of the world were in the Revolutionary War. So you'll see blue and red, which will be basically an off blue as the American Patriot uniform, but you'll also see Rhode Island green, New Jersey green and white. There'll be the artillery, you know, you see them every year, Privateer Days, in the royal blue with the red and gold, but they'll only be some. I pray to God we could get a couple of German regiments here because they're the most colorful of all. That's something else that we're working on with our partners in Lunenburg County, by the way, is to get a German Revolutionary War outfit because they played such a prominent role in the revolution. And we have people here descended from a couple of those line grants. It's always interesting when you start down the road of research. Okay. Thank you very much. I don't know if that answers, but there'll be piles. Okay. And the civilians will be interesting on their own. Henry Cook, for example, heads a museum in Rochester, New York. If he does what I know he will do on site, you'd swear to God he was worst pauper you ever saw. How did he ever get in this group? Why would anybody let a dirty little old man like this? But he portrays exactly what they look like. When we went to his first lecture, he came in on a Friday night and he had 35 patches in his shirt. 35. Now I won't tell you what his pants looked like. Shoe sole was off, buckle on the other side hanging loose. And this is a guy that has a PhD, but he reenacts what he really believes is the truth. But then you see him on Saturday, and he was as mucky as I am today.
Thank you, Owen. Appreciate
it. That's how they work.
Are we ready for the question on the motion? All those in favor of the motion? Those opposed? One opposed. Thank you. The motion is carried, and
thank
we will
you
provide
much,
you
much.
With a letter of confirmation.
And
following
I will post my second round. Steve and I will take it from here. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. So that nears the end of the open session. I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor Frelick, seconded by Councillor Mews. Any discussion? Ready for the motion? All those in favor? Those in favor of the motion to go in camera?
I want to get to the point where I don't recognize you.
We could. Councillor Kelly? We're having a vote, we'll go any further. It's unanimous, thank you. I will call a 10-minute recess.